You're listening to The Last Word on Hockey with Jim Behringer, Coach Jay, and Mark Weiss on Northeast Streaming Sports.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mad Radio Network. This is the Last Word on Hockey show, season 3, episode 17. I'm your host, Jim Behringer, alongside Coach Jay. Mark Weiss will join us in a little bit. Welcome back after another solid show last week, gaining more and more traction each week. And this is the place really to hear it first. If you want to hear the news and different things, don't go to the insiders. You can tune into them later, but this is where you hear it first, because we talked about the letter or non-letter, what they're doing in Montreal. We've talked about so much stuff on here, but we're ready for another great edition. Jay, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. This Northeast snow, cold, back and forth stuff could stay outside. I'm staying inside.
Right. I mean, it was so nice this week. Then it was cold. It's hot. It's spring. It's not. But you know, we know what's heating up. Besides that, the action on the ice in the National Hockey League, the action off the ice is heating up. And that's where I think we should begin. The Montreal Canadiens dropped the first domino in the NHL trade deadline by trading Tyler Toffoli to the Calgary Flames. They got a nice first-round pick, got another draft pick, and got Tyler Pitlick for Toffoli. And it's funny listening to Kent Hughes. He said he wasn't sure. Last week when this all went down, he's like, if you had told me we were going to trade Toffoli on Saturday, he's like, probably not. Probably been somebody else. And when I saw a trade, I thought on Monday, I thought it was Sherratt, to be honest. But to see Toffoli go to Calgary, it's a great move.
Yeah. Did you see how Lucic picked him up in the parking lot?
Yeah, that was funny. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. And Calgary's on – I tell you, Calgary, like I said earlier in last week or whatever, it says, you know, it's time to make trades now. Don't wait for the trade deadline. I mean, and Calgary is on a roll, and they just upped their locker room, never mind on the ice, by getting Tyler Toffoli, who you could see was completely energized. You see that one-legged from the right wing across the crease.
Yeah,
him that scoring.
Great debut for Toffoli in Calgary. And like you said, the Flames are rolling right now. I mean, 8 in a row. They got the Kraken tonight. And not only do they do it on the road, but they're winning games at home now. Guys like Andrew Mangiapane are scoring. I mean, Goudreau and Tkachuk are going to be earning themselves some nice contracts. But here's the thing. For me, I like the way they're playing under Daryl Sutter. Their goaltending, I mean, you talk about goaltending is key right now. Markstrom is awesome, Vladar. But adding a guy like Toffoli, look, when he's with L.A., it was crucial to their run to the Stanley Cup in 2014. When he was with Vancouver in the bubble, he played great. Last year with Montreal and their run to the Stanley Cup final, he was awesome. Mm-hmm. He's got a pedigree of winning. Lucic is another guy that has winning in his blood. He was part of that Bruins team that won the Stanley Cup. He's been to multiple finals. So he knows what it takes to be there. You add another guy like Toffoli. He's played under Daryl Sutter. He fits in so perfectly everywhere where he's been. To me, it's the perfect fit for this team. They needed secondary scoring. You know, this could be like a safety net in case Goudreau leaves in the offseason. But this is a perfect fit for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, really is. He's definitely energized. I mean, how can you not be energized coming from the Canadians now to the Flames? And early, he was probably like, wow, I'm getting traded now? Even earlier than, wow, I don't got to wait 4 weeks. Nothing personal, but you want to win. You want to know that you're getting dressed every day and you have something to play for. And he definitely has that in his blood now. And him, Tkachuk, Lucic, Lindholm, Markstrom playing, you know, Vezina style. Calgary definitely didn't wait for the rest of the league. They're the trendsetters, so far in this what's going to be a heavy trade market. Who knows what's between now and the trade deadline? But imagine how many, if they're going to figure out statistics, if they make it, how many wins that they get from him trading earlier, which we won't know until whatever, but it's definitely paying dividends already. He's joining a team that's already on a roll, coming from a team that was unfortunately totally out of it for the season.
Right.
Here's a guy who's won Stanley Cups, like you said, with the Kings. And here we go. Now I'm with a team that's in a playoff position.
They're leading the Pacific Division. Who would have thought that now? You know, after all their struggles with COVID and everything, they were out of the wild card spot, having struggles, couldn't score. Now they're on a roll. Perfect. You know, and the thing with Toffoli is, you know, listening to him, he didn't really want to leave Montreal. He signed there for a reason. He wanted to be a part of the solution. You know, maybe a little bit of a shock, but he understands it's a business. It was a tough place to leave for him. But you know what? He's reunited with Daryl Sutter. And I think that's the thing is Calgary made such an offer for Toffoli that I think Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon couldn't say no. And there was a lot of, you know, chatter about the Flames looking at him, you know, potentially before the trade was happening, you know, reported it on Full Press Hockey that, you know, they were looking. And the fact of the matter is now they have him. He's going to fit in your lineup. And everybody has to realize why teams get ahead early is, you know, when you trade for somebody at the trade deadline, now it's a shorter runway if you trade for them beforehand, because now you have a little bit longer time to have them in the lineup and they can adjust a little bit better than instead of, you know, it's trade deadline and then it's the end of the season. Now there's a little bit more time, a little bit more space to adjust to the new system.
Yeah, I mean, and then they would be jockeying with other teams putting in, you know, on that trade deadline day, if they were going to wait all the way till then to make trades, which other teams are going to do. And it's basically how much more do you have to up your package to get a guy instead of what Calgary did, which was no one saw it coming, and they made the deal. It's like, well, we need someone now. Let's try and get him now. And like you said, Mr. Gordon, what am I waiting for? What am I holding on for? You know, right. He gets a number one, number five, and I think two players.
Yeah, he got a good pick. He got a depth player that's a prospect that's going to be a good prospect for them as well. And then they got Tyler Pitlick, who's he's probably just a bottom forward. He's a UFA at the end of the year, so it's not a big deal if they don't re-sign him. So it was probably just a throw-in piece. And look, for the Canadians, we know it's a rebuild. We talked about this when Gordon was hired. I asked you and Mark the question about, you know, would it be a good idea to send out a letter to just say, hey, we're in a rebuild? This is the opposite. They're just going to do it, and they're going to get rid of players that, you know, people are fan favorites. And you know what? That's what's going to happen. That's what they did with the Rangers. And for the Canadians, just the first of many dominoes that are going to fall heading into this trade deadline. Because, as we've said, they're in a rebuild right now. The team, I mean, they're playing better under Martin Saint-Louis, which we'll get to. And here he is. Captain Mark is in the house. What's up, Mark? How we doing, buddy? We were just talking about the Toffoli trade. Just want to get your thoughts real quick on the Toffoli trade, and then we're going to transition into Canadians talk as well.
Well, before I do that, I want to give a shout out to Lily and Ella, my granddaughters, celebrating their first and third birthdays today.
Happy birthday.
That is my excuse for being tardy.
That's okay. It's a good excuse.
Yeah, I don't have that excuse yet. So.
It is an excellent excuse, yes. And the key word for you, the operational word, is yet.
Yeah.
So on to business. Toffoli deal. This is a win for everyone. And you know what? I always hear people say, oh, it's a great deal when one team beats the other team up out of it. Or, you know, and I don't think of it that way. I think a deal is a great deal when everybody prospers from it. And they need it, Toffoli. They need a scorer. And he gets reunited with a coach he did well with. So that's a win for him. That's a win for Calgary. Or as our good friend Don Cherry would say, Calgary.
Calgary.
That's a good win for them. And for Montreal, what did they get back in return? Prospects, draft picks, exactly what the MO of the Jeff Gordon era has now started. This is the unwritten letter, folks. Enjoy.
Exactly.
Enjoy it.
As I was saying before, they're gonna, instead of sending out the letter saying we're gonna trade fan favorites, they're just gonna do it. Because that's what they're deep. And but you know what?
Montreal's not left with many fan favorites because, let's face it, Perry goes down to Tampa. Goodbye. He's gone. The two big fan favorites, Weber, pretty much basically retired. And obviously, Carey is, out for whatever leave he is. So what fan favorites are there really left? You know, Toffoli was – there's only 1 year really for Toffoli. And he did a great job. But now he's moving on. He's a hired gun.
Exactly. And I was saying with the Canadians, they get a nice return for everything. And they're starting to play better under Martin Saint-Louis. But it's only the first of many dominoes for the Canadians that are going to fall at the deadline. Obviously, we know Sherratt potentially Lehkonen could be a part of that deal as well because, you mentioned it. Jeff Gordon, his MO with the Rangers was, this is what we're going to do. Now he's doing it with Kent Hughes up in Montreal. And there's been a lot of talk that the two teams have been tied together. And what a shock, because Jeff Gordon knows that system so well. And he drafted pretty much all those players.
Beware Mr. Drury.
Exactly. I don't know if he's going to fleece him, but they'll make a hockey deal like they did with this Toffoli deal, because that's a hockey deal. Nobody, yeah. Both sides won here.
We all know that the Rangers, thanks to Mr. Gordon, have a huge surplus on youthful defense. And that's a great place to be in, because let's face it, you win in this league building from the net out. And so the Rangers have a lot of youth on defense that they could afford to trade to fill their most glaring need, which is right up the scoring up the middle now.
Oh yeah. Oh, he knows that roster inside out and upside down. And I'm sure Drury and Gordon will let bygones be bygones and do what's best for their teams. And Drury doesn't have to sell him on who he wants. I'm sure Gordon's going to come in and go, hey, you're really not using what's his name, Lundqvist, who seems to be the odd man out on defense. And who knows who else they have.
Well,
they've been showcasing Schneider. No family. Well, they ain't family relation. And they showcasing Jones.
Yeah, but they ain't trading Schneider.
You never know. I mean, nobody's untradeable.
I think he looks like a guy you're going to wish you had back in a year or two. I mean, he played in the top D with when Fox was out and he played great.
Oh, with Trouba, yeah. With Lindgren.
But that's when sometimes you have to sell these young guys when they're at their high point, because you never know when the league figures them out what happens.
Exactly. Well, Gordon's going to go after him because he traded up to get him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
hopefully not. Not because he's Schneider. Not because he's Schneider. My name says it over there. But the guy is like a two-way beast. He shoots. He's going to wind up being somewhat of a putting up points too. And he's great down in that crease.
He might go after Skinny Zach.
He might. He
may.
But
yeah.
I think you hit it. I think Lundqvist probably, Kratzoff probably will go in a package. Oh, I know the Rangers. I know from my understanding, and it probably may or may not happen, but I know if Sherratt goes to the Rangers, Lehkonen might come with him as part of the deal. So
I could definitely see that happening without a doubt. But I think Montreal is going to have to eat a few dollars.
Absolutely, no doubt. Yeah. And they have the room to do it. I mean, they have the room to eat some dollars and bring maybe a bad contract that has 1 year left and just whatever to it. But I like the way Montreal is playing on a Martin Saint-Louis. I think they're playing a lot better than they did under Dominique Ducharme. And it's you could see it with Cole Caulfield now. He's got 4 goals under Saint-Louis. And, they're similar players, as you said, undersized guys that are going to make it in the league. And it looks like the Canadians are having fun.
Little man better than one of the best little men ever.
Absolutely. The guy's a Hall of Famer. I was there when he was inducted anyway. So,
well, that's not nice. I mean,
true Hall of Famer to me, no question about it. He was the little engine that could, and then did some more, a lot more extra.
Yeah. Rangers have a need. I don't know if Montreal has it.
Rangers need scoring. They need help up the middle.
And you see, let me tell you something. For all the people that have been naysayers about Kako, can you not tell the difference with him out? And you can't just put Goudreau up there on the top six and expect to get through the next month until he comes back. He's a two-way play. He's been made to be a two-way player since he came into the league. And yeah, he's not putting up all the goals, but he's about to break out. Now you lose him for a month, and you need more heavy guys on the bottom six. So yeah, the Rangers are going to be making some deals, and it's going to be who's going to be what, who's going to offer them what it's going to be worth giving up some of this young talent.
I think second line center is the, and maybe even first line center, whichever way you want to spin it, is the most glaring need that the Rangers have.
I agree with that for sure. That's a big time need.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they may be, if they move one of the, if they move Gorgiev, they might be able to get a center back in return. So that's just something to keep an eye on for sure with them. And then obviously Montreal is going to be sellers at the deadline, as we expect, and they could be doing more in the off season. But it's good to see them turning around, being more competitive, playing better. And you know what? That's all you want to ask under a new coach, and just they're having fun again, and you can see that on the ice.
Well, nothing's worse than when you're a player on a franchise that's, you know, last year they were on an epic run, and this year they've been nothing but the seller, and they just knew eventually that the shoes were going to start dropping. You knew the coach wasn't going to last. It was not, he lost his room. The players weren't responding, and they also, first they had lost their GM. And so you knew everything needed to be done over. And let's face it, the Gorton regime does not want a leftover coach. Nobody taking over wants anybody's leftover coach.
No, absolutely.
No. That's why he may have, like we were talking last week, he jumped on getting, you know, St. Louis and not waiting for someone else, knowing other people wanted him. Get him now. Play out the year. See how things change, if things change. And you know, like two in the net. Corey,
because remember,
Price goes down, and Allen's out. Now you got $14 million was invested in two goalies that are not there. What could you expect?
Well, one's not a cap hit right now.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
$10.2 million is not a cap hit because he's not playing.
No, exactly. He's on LTIR.
You can't put him on LTIR and get a.
Oh, well, that's a perfect segue into the next topic, because Jack Eichel returned to the Vegas Golden Knights lineup.
Jack's back,
and everybody's crying and complaining about LTIR and the circumvention of the cap. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Do we have to hear about this anymore? I mean, any team can do this. It's not news. No one's cheating. This is the way the CBA was written, and this is the way the cap works. And you know what? It's the only way that this hard cap can ever work, because otherwise you're going to have teams that are just going to be done if they lose a star player.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And here's the thing. They're just doing it better than your team. Because let me tell you something. Out of the 16 teams that made the playoffs last year, more than half were over the salary cap in the playoffs. Yes, Tampa's $18 million, $17 million stood out because they won it. Well, you know what? A lot of teams will be over the cap when the playoffs start. And look, you want to say caps are, it's in the CBA, like you said. The PA negotiated it. This is the problem with the hard salary cap. If you had a soft cap with a luxury tax, teams would be paying a luxury tax to go over. Yeah, enforcing in the playoffs. Yeah, but then it doesn't make them the competitive of the playoffs is gone. So this is the way they get around it. They just do it better than your team. And yeah, you want to say, oh, caps are, it's not caps are a convention when the NHLPA agreed to it. And the only way it's going to stop.
It's only caps are a convention when it happens to your team.
Exactly.
Yeah. The only thing that can make
if you're Tampa or Chicago about 5 or 6 years ago, or if you're going to be, whatchamacallit this year, it doesn't make a difference. Or you're going to be Vegas this year, it doesn't matter, because these are the rules. And if you want to get into a conversation about the cap and the CBA being redone, that's a whole other conversation. And I'm for that, because I've said for years that teams like Montreal, you know, and the other Canadian teams operate at a huge deficit because of the dollar exchange is a big challenge for them. The provincial tax just destroys the chances for bringing in free agents. So we get that. And there needs to be modifiers so that it levels that playing field. You know, we understand that. Or in the States, as a free agent, I would sign with Vegas in a heartbeat, or one of the Florida teams. No state income tax. Why would I want to lose another?
I think there's another place too that has no state income tax that you can sign.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you play for one of the three teams in California, or one of the three teams in New York State or New Jersey, you know, you're gonna get hit as a player, extra money on your taxes, and maybe that hurts those teams. Also, cost of living. And then on top of it, you got to live in an apartment in Manhattan or in South Beach or on the West Coast in SoCal. You're paying a fortune too, just for cost of living. Now, I get it. People don't want to cry for athletes because they think they're all multimillionaires, but there's a lot of guys on the bottom scale of this that aren't.
No, exactly.
Yeah, right.
So you know what? Redo the cap. Number one, cost of living and location riders to level the playing field. Believe me, they have actuarials who can study anything. Those guys can figure out how to balance that out. Also, have a soft cap, like you said, Jimmy. Just like baseball has a soft cap.
Or the NBA. The NBA is the perfect model. The NBA is the perfect model, though, to follow. I mean, you have
NBA had the Larry Bird rule, which I loved for years. You could spend whatever you want to re-sign your own homegrown talent.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Why and they got the new deal.
Yeah, and they got the new deal from ESPN. They got this whole big deal. There's no reason why you can't do something with the cap.
No.
I mean, it's the cap's going to go up.
And
I mean,
that's why teams must circumvent.
Well, hard cap, when you say hard cap.
Yeah, hard cap. I mean, it's unfortunate that it got into a pandemic, because the money would have gone up and all this stuff would have been up there a lot sooner. But I understand why they did it in the first place, but it's just false parity. Yeah, but it's just false parity, because some teams don't even spend to the cap floor.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is if you don't spend to the floor, then the cap's blown up in itself as well.
Right.
It doesn't – maybe we're going to get to a day and age where they're just going to trade cap space, you know, like buildings change, like air rights in New York City, or carbon tax credits, whatever you want to say, that's what's going to wind up happening. Because guess what? These guys can always figure out a way around it, because they hire the smartest people to do it.
Yeah.
And like I said, Tampa and Vegas have done it better than you. Toronto did it last year. They failed. But the Islanders were over. The Islanders were crying after Game 7. They were way over. They were $10 million over the cap. Like, I don't want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone forgets they lost Anders Lee.
Right. So they were over the cap. So teams are going to always be over the cap come the playoffs. So it's this debate will never go away until it changes. But people have to realize now with these LTIR, the NHL is watching these injuries a little bit more. They are getting reports like every week, you know, is this guy progressing, this, that. You just can't put a guy on there without having the medical back it up. I mean, Mark Stone legitimately has a back injury, which he's been dealing with the whole year, which he's been in and out of the lineup for several weeks at a time. So he has a legit injury. Nikita Kucherov, I mean, look, the Tampa is like,
yeah, legitimate hip injury.
He did. He's like, oh, just get your surgery now, so don't worry about it. I mean, Hedman, if he didn't get his surgery when he got his surgery, that could have been the same thing this year. So it's not going to go away anytime soon.
Jimmy, that's dangerous territory if the league's going to stick their 2 cents in. Because think about that. You monitor a player and you say, hey, you should be back playing. But then what happens if a guy gets back and then he gets, boom, injured and gone for the rest of the season? What does the insurance companies do? They might turn around and say, we don't want to pay the insurance piece out because, number one, you put that guy in jeopardy. I don't think the league ever wants to get into
I'm not saying they're forcing them to back into it, but they're looking at the injury reports a lot closer now than they were. Don't forget.
But if they're looking at it closer, eventually they're going to get to a day where someone's going to question and say, that guy should be out there. They're just holding him back for the cap.
Well, look, Kucherov did skate before he was deemed able to play for the first round of the playoffs last year.
And he legitimately probably could have played the last 5 or 6 games.
He probably legitimately could, because he was skating in Nashville and all this stuff.
Exactly. But they knew better. They knew, why do they need to do it? They didn't
Exactly. They didn't need to until the playoffs came. But again, this debate's going to go on and on until things change. What I want to get into after we've, you know, discussed this is looking at the playoff races in both sides in the East and in the West. I want to start in the West because things have gotten really, really interesting, especially in the Pacific. We talked off the top, Calgary in first. Vegas is in second right now, but the Edmonton Oilers are charging. Their new coaching change they made with Jay Woodcroft behind the bench. They're playing a lot better. Stuart Skinner looks good in between the pipes. They're playing
good today against Winnipeg.
And that's a game Winnipeg needs, because that's a team that is clawing back to try to get a wild card spot as the two California teams start to go go the other way. Eventually, you knew this was going to happen. But Edmonton's right there. You have Dallas. You have Winnipeg. They're all right there. And that's why the trade deadline is going to be so interesting, because these teams
are they going to wait for the trade deadline?
Right.
No, exactly. They can't wait.
They can't wait.
Because once Gordon made the Toffoli trade, that started.
He opened the door. The forbidden door he opened.
Yo, the forbidden door. Nice. Yo, Tony Khan's forbidden door.
Thank you.
Very good reference.
You know what? Just to end, I know we're doing this, and I just wanted to get one last on the list. Like with Mark Stone, he made it to the All-Star game, right?
No, he didn't go to the All-Star game.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Oh, all right. Either way, with the heart, with this LTIR, if you're an LTIR for a certain amount of games, you should have to miss the first round of the playoffs. Like you're saying, if they could check the medical records and they're like, listen, this guy should have been back, like you said, Mark, a week, five games, six games before.
Well, that's what we have, but that's what we have prognosis for, because Anders Lee would have been back if the Islanders made the Stanley Cup playoffs last
year.
On the final last year.
All right, there. I just wanted to, and now, I'm sorry, back to the forbidden door.
The forbidden door. I mean, look, it's because with Dallas, for me, with Dallas is they have guys like Klingberg and Pavelski, can they move, but they're still right in the race. Like, I don't know. They may have to decide a week before the deadline what they want to do, especially if they're so close. Like, Winnipeg, they're starting to come on. Mark Scheifele. Like, these are guys, like, everybody called out Scheifele for a poor first half, and now he's starting to put it together. But it's like, which Winnipeg Jet team are we going to get? Because, like, today against Edmonton, yeah, it's a must-win game for both games. That's a game that you probably should steal a point at, even if you lose in overtime. Because the points are so crucial right now, especially for the Jets. I mean, look, Scheifele's playing better. Connor's there as well. Dubois looking good.
Wheeler came back.
A home game, you got to win.
Yeah, you got to win a home game. Wheeler came back,
and he's putting up a lot of assists.
Yeah, they're actually playing a lot better now. But
and they fought their way back. They were down 3-0, and they fought their way back in the third.
Right, and then, but this is a game they probably should have won, especially on home ice.
But they need D. Well, they're D.
Dreaded three-goal lead hole.
No,
it's tough to get back.
They need D. Like we're saying, they've been kind of like not soft on D, but haven't fixed the problem. They shouldn't wait. I mean, they should be the kind of team that goes out and maybe tries to get a Sherratt or Klingberg or somebody for now solidify that back end. You got Hellebuck. You can't do anything else in the net. So. Be interesting.
That's very not their problem.
No, it's not.
Hellebuck's having a down year, no doubt. But I mean,
but that's manifested by the fact that defense in front of him is pitiful.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that it's just like everybody had expectations for Winnipeg to make the playoffs, and they're still right there. But I mean, look, the teams they're going to be catching are the California teams, but they have to pass a team in their own division, which is the Dallas Stars, because it feels like You have Colorado, St. Louis, Nashville, and Minnesota's there too. In that Central, is it going to be 5 or is it going to be 4-4? Right now, it feels like it's going to be 5-3, but it could be 4-4. Who knows? I mean, there's so many races, and Vancouver's in the mix as well. I mean, they're playing. I think
the Wild West is so wide open, and the East is kind of like they're just playing around for positions. I mean, Detroit's on the cusp, but they still, Boston has 3 or 4 games in hand on them.
Yeah, I mean, they are. I think they're 6 points back when I last checked. But I know Boston
has and a 4 game differential.
I know, but still, I mean, 4 games isn't much. I mean, Boston. It's like we said with the Islanders; they had so many games in hand, but you have to win them. And if Boston doesn't win them, Detroit's right there. I mean, even Columbus is right there. The way Patrick Laine's been playing, I mean, he's.
Yeah,
he's turning back the clocks to the kid that was in Winnipeg all those years that helped them get to a Western Conference final. He's going to get paid next year, and it's good for Columbus because it's good to see a player like that because he's a natural goal scorer. He wants to have fun. He wants to have fun out there, and to see him do well is something important. And
you wouldn't have done it under torch.
No, absolutely not.
Nobody does it under torch.
Nobody does it under torch. And for Detroit, for me, I'm loving watching this team because of Mo Sider and Lucas Raymond and the young kids on that team. And Steve Yzerman putting together a great team.
I actually like the guy who I think is hurting the Islanders because he's in Detroit, which is Nick Leddy.
Right, exactly.
Another one playing very well.
Right, and he potentially could be on the trade block.
Him and Toews, get it.
You can't replace those guys. They never did. They just never replaced those guys. But yeah, like you said, the Wild West is so wild right now because so many teams in contention. California teams are dropping off. The teams we expected to be there are back up there again. I mean, is Edmonton a true contender? Probably not. But you know, it's good to see them claw their way.
Give me a goalie away.
To make the playoffs, they're not a contender to do anything once they make it.
No,
they could be a flurry.
So.
They could be, but they a still flurry away. Deal. Flurry comes in and settles
well,
in the net.
I mean, look, there were talks last week about potentially, and you never know. I know Kelly McCrimmon, you know, knocked the idea, but with Robin Leonard being hurt, there was talk that maybe the reuniting of Marc-Andre Fleury in Vegas, but, you know, is there too much bad blood there?
They said they crushed it. They said the GM
crushed it, but the GM could say all this
kind
of stuff.
It's a coach thing.
Yeah, it's a coach thing.
But with Leonard out, they've got no choice now.
They have no choice to go get a goaltender. Is it going to be Georgiev? Is it going to be Fleury? Is it going to be whoever? But Vegas needs to get a goaltender because they traded the wrong goalie.
Yes, they did.
And that's because the coach put him in the doghouse.
Yep.
The flower's still blooming. And, you know, it's, you know, GMs are losing their jobs. You can't blame the team.
No, you can't blame the team. I mean, you really can't. I mean, look, it's just fun to watch. So many fun storylines going on. So many rumors out there. I mean, there could be a lot of movement. There could be not a lot of movement at the deadline. I hope there's some movement before the deadline and at the deadline because it's going to make the rest of the season so much fun to watch. I mean, look, Washington's struggling right now.
Yeah.
It's just a dog race right now to figure out, you know, who's going to make it because the standings are just so, so close.
This is the parity that the league always wanted. That's the whole purpose of the cap. I mean, obviously to make sure that an exorbitant amount of money isn't spent, but it's also designed to make sure that you have these electric type of down the stretch races to see who's going to make it and where they're going to finish and not have it locked into a few teams. That's it.
Yeah. It's going to be a dogfight. And I really think there are going to be some trades within this next week.
I don't think GMs could wait.
They can't wait. If they want to make the playoffs in tight contested races and you know, you have a glaring hole, you can't wait till the trade deadline. Cause then you're going to be competing against other teams and you may not even get the guy. So you got to pull the trigger if you're looking to do something this year now.
It's very true.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's going to be fun to watch the second half of the season and up to the trade deadline because there's just so much stuff out there. So many things could move on. Like I said, Toffoli's the first domino to fall. There's probably going to be others. Florida's looking to make some changes. Carolina adding some depth. Everybody's looking to do some things. So you know what? As I said off the top, Mark, this is the place to hear it first. We're trendsetters. We said the stuff about the letter, non-letter, and then we hear it around other places. So this is the place to be.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm not going to give a plug to some other guys, you know, who have their own famous podcast named after an old type of gum. But a lot of the stuff that they were talking about was stuff that we were banding about 2 or 3 weeks before.
Yeah. So you know, people are listening. So it's flattering. Hey guys, so.
Yeah, and all we're doing is talking. I mean, all we're doing is brainstorming in a triangle round circle kind of thing. It's just hockey guys just coming up with ideas like, you know, armchair quarterbacks. I mean, we have nothing to lose by saying something.
We're also doing the legwork, too. Jimmy works so tight with all the scribes and everybody that's out there who's tapped into the teams, and he gets a lot of good information by just working it every day. And I work with the fan groups. I hear all the stuff that they're talking about, I sift through it and figure out what's legit and what's just speculation. You know, and you're always checking the stats and looking at all the goalie stuff, and you know where the pieces are going to fit. It's all about doing the homework. You know, some guys just want to get on and they want to just, you know, boviate and talk about stuff and everything. And, you know, great, they have a great resume for playing the game, no question about it. But you got to do the work.
You have to do the legwork. That's what it's all about. Another fun addition, boys. We had a quick little show tonight to get it done. Get everybody back to hockey as we're rolling into third period.
We'll be skating together tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the plan. Hopefully, I don't miss the alarm. So
I'll be out there soon enough when the weather gets better, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
My goalie hockey hits to really give me problems. I got to be able to sit.
Join us.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Eventually.
But anyway, this has been The Last Word on Hockey, Season 3, Episode 13, here on Mad Radio Network. Have a good night, everybody. For Coach Jay, Mark Weiss, I'm Jim Berenger. Peace out. Have a good Saturday night.
Take it easy, guys. Great talking.
Bye, everyone.